In Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, but we're going to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be looking at the fifth commandment. It's found in verse 12. As we look at this, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, we have examined the first four commandments. Commandment number one, of course, is in 21, and the Lord spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. And then commandment number one is verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God, the Lord God, Jehovah, is the only God. The rest of them are demon gods, false gods. God, the Lord God of heaven, is the only God. And He doesn't want us making icons. He doesn't want us making images. He does not want us wearing God medals. He doesn't want us doing anything. You'll look around the church here. You're not going to find any pictures of Jesus. However, in our Sunday school lessons, to illustrate them, we have Jesus working with the disciples. But nobody knows what Jesus looks like. Nobody knows what God looks like. And it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of things that are in the heaven above or in the earth beneath, so, or in the waters under the earth. So the Egyptians are in real big trouble here because they have gods of everything. They got god dogs, god crocodiles, and worst of all, god cats. But anyway, they got all kinds of things. Number three, down in verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord shall not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We talked about that. OMG, if you send that in your text, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. That stands for, oh my God. You don't say in your conversation, God, that was a good pizza. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. I hear people talking Jesus this and God that, but if you try and witness to them, they really get offended, and yet they've just been taking his name in vain. See, we're just not supposed to make his name common. So don't, there's something to be said about the Jews. If you're thinking about when they were writing the Old Testament, figure out what they had to do. When they came to the name Jehovah, you know what they had to do? They had to go take a bath. They had to put on clean clothes. They had to take a new quill before they wrote YHWH. And then even today in Jewish writings, you'll see G space D, because they were afraid that they might be taking God's name in vain. And we certainly are not to take God's name in vain. And finally, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's on the first table of the law. Now we're moving to the second table of the law. And that is, the first one, it's interesting, is honor thy father and mother. I find it very interesting that phrase occurs two times in the Old Testament, Exodus 20, 12 and Deuteronomy 5:16, which is the second rendition of the Ten Commandments. But this is Matthew 15, 4, Matthew 19, 19, Mark 7, 10, Mark 10, 19, Luke 18, 20, and Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 2. Now, I think it's really very interesting, at least it's interesting to me, that this is a unique commandment in two ways. Number one, it is the only positive commandment. All the rest of them is thou shalt not. Somebody said, well, Pastor, that really isn't true, because when you come to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, it's a positive. But if you look at it, in verse 10 it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath unto the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work. So it's a negative commandment. The honor thy father and mother is the only positive commandment in all of the Ten Commandments that we are told to do. So that's very interesting. And it's the first and only commandment that has a promise attached to it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians verse 6, chapter 6 and verse 2. So just flip there, because the Apostle Paul interprets what we read about that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, and here's what we read. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? Verse 3, that it might be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's what it says right here, back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So, it's the first commandment with promise. And I believe it stands first for a purpose. The backbone of culture, the backbone of all society is, and I didn't used to have to say this, but it is a male father married to a female mother for the intent of having children, because there would be no society without father and mother and children. If you had two lesbians, that would be a one generation thing. If you had two homosexuals, that'd be a one generation thing. That would be the end of it. But a male father, a female mother, is an essential building block of all society, and it is necessary for the stability and the health of the culture. All the single parent households, what a challenge. As best as single moms try to do, as best as single dads try to do, they cannot be what it should be, according to the Scripture, to have a father and a mother in the context of a household biblically. Now, God's will for children is to honor their parents. And we'll talk about it a little bit later, but when you get older, like I am, things shift a little bit, but let's start right at the beginning. It's clear in God's Word that if children don't honor their parents, it is very unlikely that they're going to honor any other authority, and they certainly aren't going to honor God. If they don't treat their parents with deference, if they don't treat their parents with respect, and, you know, I am so alarmed. Not so much in the church here, though there are times that I'm alarmed in the church and I see how the children respond to their parents. But in the culture there, when I'm going shopping or going out and I see how little kids are running the show, it makes me fearful. Because if they're not obeying dad and if they're not obeying mom, and I've used the illustration before, but I was in it before it was called Pick and Save. I think it was called Century back then. But anyway, a little kid was making a huge scene because he wanted some candy that's on the end caps there. They try and entice you when you go in with all the candy and stuff's there. I never get enticed, not more than once or twice each time I go in the store. But anyway, and mom said no, and she put it back. And the kid went out and took it again, and she said no, and he put it back. And she said, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. And what he said was, if you do that, I'm going to tell dad. And so you know what? She shut up and let the kid have it. I'll tell you, something's not right in that household. If my kid would have said that, if you are going to spank me, I'm going to tell dad, guess what would have happened to them? Oh, this is on the air. This is on sermon audio. You know what would have happened to them? They'd have got it a second time. Yes, I know that it's being broadcast. But the fact of the matter is the great problem in our day is that policemen are not being respected. You look at it. About every week I hear of another law enforcement person being shot, and they're even targeting them. You know why? That goes back to the fact that you can bet that kid did not honor his father, did not honor his mother, and he was doing his own thing, and nobody stopped him. I mean, teachers get pummeled. And you know what? They can't lay a hand on the kid. I would last about a day in there. Because I remember when I did teach school. And I remember when all those things started to come in. And I thought, boy, oh boy, I do pray for Sarah and our teachers, other teachers that I know who are in the public school. Because I'll tell you what. I'm just going to say it's a zoo because they have not learned to respect authority, and that starts in the home. It's a blessing to be with my grandchildren. I mean, they certainly aren't perfect. Well, they have a perfect grandfather. Well, Lord, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, but I like it for the most part when mom speaks, when dad speaks, the kids listen, the kids obey. That doesn't happen by accident. It does not happen by accident. But here's what I'm saying. If children do not learn to honor their parents, they are not going to honor any other authority, and they are not going to honor God. So teach your children to honor you and your husband or your spouse, whatever. Now, what does honor mean? My favorite dictionary, it's secular nature, but it's the reprint of the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. It has the most biblical definitions of any dictionary that was ever published. And by the way, Noah Webster was a believer, and that's probably why. But here's how he defines honor. It means to revere. It means to respect, to treat with deference and submission. Now, actually, if you were to look up the word honor in the Old Testament or honor in the New Testament, because they're both there, repeated over and over again, he's pretty right on in relationship to what we see with the biblical definitions of honor. God's will is that children honor their parents. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, the first part of the verse says this: "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God." Now, the word fear is the Hebrew word that implies high respect for someone, that you would have great apprehension about doing something that would displease them. When I was growing up, my dad would regularly say to me, "You're a Brown. You make sure you honor the family name. We have a good name in this town. Make sure that we keep it." As I moved into my teenage years, I remember more than once my dad telling me that. That puts responsibility on the children, but it is a proper responsibility to be put on the children as well. The word fear means, you know, apprehension about doing something that would displease them. You can tell if a person honors their parents, because if they do, they will not regularly do anything that would displease them. I remember really being afraid one time. My dad had four-wheel drive Jeep vehicles, and it was getting towards the winter, and I took the Jeep, and I always wanted to know, back behind the high school, there was a trail, and I wanted to know where that trail went. And so I got to school early, and so I took the Jeep and started going down the trail, and it started getting narrower, so I put it into four-wheel drive, and then I saw a farmer coming behind me in the tractor, and he's yelling, so I punch the four-wheel drive Jeep, and I go down and went through the swamp, and mud is flying every place. I thought, man, if I get stuck in this swamp, I am in big trouble. And then I see a hill, so I'm really gunning it, and my buddy's with me, and he's worried we're looking back for the farmer. And we come up over the field, and I'm right on the track field, so I drive across the track field and park it in the parking lot. I don't know how, but my dad knew about that when I got home. It wasn't pretty. But you see, that wasn't my regular behavior, because I did honor and feared my dad. And I wanted to please him, so I would listen to him most of the time obey him. But you need to obey your parents unless they tell you to do something that is wrong according to the scriptures. Now, there's some parents that aren't worth a nickel. I understand that. But unless they tell you to do something wrong, even though they're not Christians, you need to do it. Is Mr. Pachaka here? May I tell... Okay. Joe Pachaka got born again. And you check out for the specific details, but as I remember his testimony, he wanted to come to the Baptist church. And his parents said, no, you can't do that until you're 18. Okay, that's correct. And you know what? Even though he wanted to come attend the Baptist church, join the Baptist church, he honored his parents, still was in his Bible, still did the thing, and he honored his parents until he was 18, and then guess where he showed up at? I married those two back when they were kids. But anyhow, they didn't tell him, he just honored his parents, and I believe that God blesses because of that. Proverbs 1, verse 8 says this, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. In Proverbs 6 and verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. So many kids, they think that they know everything. They think they got the world by the tail. They think that their parents are old fogies and don't know anything. So they want to do their own thing and go their own way. But I want you to be cautious about that. I thought I pretty well knew everything, and the older I get, the more I realize how much I don't know even now. And the problem is I'm losing some of the stuff that I do know. But anyway, the fact of the matter is here's what the scripture says. Proverbs 13, verse 1, it says, a wise son heareth his father's instructions. But now look at the other side of that. It says, a scorner heareth not rebuke. Scorner heareth not rebuke. Just remember my mom really getting on me about a girlfriend that I had. And she said, I can't tell you who you're dating because I was past 18. No, I wasn't at that point. I can't tell you who you can date, or I'm not going to tell you who you can date, but I can tell you, don't bring her to this house again. She said, she's got a ring in your nose and she's yanking you around like a bull with a ring in his nose, and that is not good. I was mad. But you know, I got thinking about it later, and she was exactly right. And so I did not later on continue that relationship, and I ended up with that young lady right there. And she was just exactly what God had in store for me and what I needed when I was going to be a preacher. And so God knew, but I was so mad at my mom. And so it says in Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee. And then this, see if I can get through this without crying. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Or for that matter, your dad. Whew. Old age takes a toll. It takes its toll on the minds and bodies of parents. And at this point, my mom still does recognize me and recognize Linda, but I don't know how long that'll last. But you know, my mother and I didn't ever get along very good, but I am committed to making sure that she has good care all the days of her life, just like my dad did. We kept my dad in my house for 12 years. That was not an easy thing. And I look out and I see some of the people who came and helped me towards the end. And I'm very grateful for that. But you know, at the time that my dad was there, I didn't expect that when I was in my 60s, I would be taking care of my dad 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for 12 years. That wasn't on my radar screen. And my mom, we go regularly over her. My mom kept running away, and so we had to put her someplace where she's safe, but she's back there just about a mile, and see, we're there all the time. The girls are there watching over my mom. It just depends on what needs to be done, but old age takes its toll, and the hardest thing for me is the role reversal. Now I have to be the parent, because my mom's about 12. That's hard, that role reversal. That role reversal is a real difficult thing. And I don't have some of the challenges that you have with some of your elderly parents. But it's difficult on that. And I pray all the time that the Lord will help those who are doing the right thing. And Lynn and I, as we seek to do the right thing, that we can handle it gracefully. Because it actually drives me nuts. And I'm regularly before the Lord asking for His help, His wisdom, how you handle all of that kind of stuff. I'll go a little bit more into that. I know it's going to be a little bit longer of a message, but I want you to hear it. We're living in a Proverbs 30, verse 11 society. It says in Proverbs 30, verse 11, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." I've seen it happen over 49 years of ministry, where parents are, elderly parents are treated so badly and not cared for, just stuck someplace and nobody pays attention. And that just is unbiblical. That is wrong. What does the Bible have to say about those who dishonor their parents? Well, it's clear that God's going to take them to task. It says in Proverbs 30 and verse 17, "The eye that mocketh," scorns or derides, "the eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Think of that picture. You know what that says? God's judgment's on that person. Deuteronomy 27:6 says, "Cursed," and that means to be under a curse, "cursed be he that setteth that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen." The Hebrew phrase "setteth at light" means to lightly esteem or to pay little or no attention to. There's so many people who have elderly parents and they pay absolutely positively no attention to them at all. When Lynn and I go and visit, I see some of the other nursing home people longingly look, because we're there several times a week to visit my mother, and maybe they come at other times, but there's so many people that are there, I don't think they ever see family members. Or they do maybe at the Christmas banquet that we have, or the Thanksgiving, or whatever they were. The picnic. There's a summer picnic. So there's a Christmas one and the summer picnic, and that's about the only time they see their family. That is not right. If you have elderly parents someplace, call them, visit them. That is something that you owe them. And I'll deal with that a little bit later. Children who ignore or spurn their parents are cursed. And the word "cursed" means execrate. We don't use execrate, but it means to pronounce evil against. It carries with the idea of being hemmed in by obstacles. God says if you mistreat your parents when they're old, that God is going to hem you in with obstacles. I hope he doesn't mind, but Jim and his mother had completely different worldviews. But he was over there fixing things and caring for things and watching over her and his aunt and all this kind of things when his mom was alive. And so even though you might have different philosophies and those things, you don't want God to be putting evil in your path. Now, Just in case you're inclined to ignore the passages in the Old Testament, you say, oh, that's all Old Testament stuff. Let's look at Matthew 15:4. Matthew 15:4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Let me make it very clear. Any young person who refuses to respect or obey parents is worthy of the death penalty. I understand we're living under grace, but look what God thinks of things in Exodus 21:17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Several times in the past 2 years, I've heard teenagers cursing their fathers and their mothers because they said something and they were with them in public. Leviticus 20:9, for everyone that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death, and he that curseth father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Proverbs 20:20 is frightening. It says, whosoever curses father and mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Well, Ephesians 6:2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. But what about helping your parents in their old age? This has to do with when your parents are old and not able to function anymore. How do you put into those things to practice that were spoken? Certainly, when Linda and I got married, her first responsibility was to obey me before her father or her mother. But we certainly would give her father and her mom a hearing and listen very, very carefully when they gave us advice. But there's a time when mom and dad can't care for themselves. 1 Timothy 5:4 addresses that. It says, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity, to care for, show pity at home, and to requite their parents for the good, for that is good and acceptable before God. Boy, this is not easy, but here's what it means. The word requite literally means to repay a debt. We are to repay our parents for all the sorrow, the pain, the trouble, the care, the expense that they experienced in bearing and bringing us into the world and taking care of us in our infancy and bringing us up in our rough teenage years, giving us an education, providing food and raiment, etc., etc. To neglect them in their old age when they're incapable of providing for themselves would be base ingratitude, whereas to care for them is but a requital, a repayment to them for the former benefits they gave to us. I'm just wanna tell you, that is not easy. My son-in-law cared for, was it grandma or grandpa? Steve, grandma or grandpa? Grandpa. It was grandpa. Went in and pitched in and took care of grandpa. I know it's not easy, but I'm just telling you what's biblical, and I think it's my responsibility as your pastor just to lay it out for what it is. I know that we live in a culture that for the most part, there's a number of states who now have enacted laws for euthanasia. Grandma can't remember us anymore, so just give her a shot and get rid of her. You know, that's not our business. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. What? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wish my dad would have been able to go home sooner than he did. Because I'll just tell you, the last 6 weeks was the worst 6 weeks of my entire life. The pain, the suffering that he went through. I do remember the relief when Linda and I went in there and told Dad, you don't have to fight anymore. You can go home. He's a believer. And we read scripture and sang a song, and he went home to be with the Lord. But you know what? It was in God's timing. If it had been up to me, which it isn't, I don't want you to get any wrong ideas. I wish it had been 2 years earlier. But that's not... Evidently, I needed something. Evidently, I needed that. I needed to learn compassion and learn compare, to care and all that kind of stuff. But honor thy father and mother is a whole lot more complicated when you really start digging in to consider what it means. And I know some of you have done it, and some of you are doing it right now. And I pray for you, because I've been there. But some of you got complications to handle that I did never have with my parents. But there it is. And I did my duty, and it's not fun, but it's right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let's pray.